It's said that the legendary golfer Bobby Jones was once asked what the upper limit of the yardage of a fairway ought to be. In other words, how long is too long for a golf hole? His answer is classic. He said, "It doesn't matter how long you make the fairway. The longest distance in golf will always be the 5 inches between your ears." And if you play golf, you probably know. By far, the hardest part of the game is the mental. The thoughts that race through your head when that little white ball is sitting there staring up at you is more than half the challenge. But I can also tell you that though the 5 inches between your ears may be the longest distance in golf, in life, there is a longer journey to traverse. In life, in my experience, the longest distance of all is between your head and your heart. Between your head and your heart. It's easy to know. You've thought, you've researched, you've consulted, you've reasoned, you know. But to go from "I know" to "I know," that's not so easy. The head gives us all the reasoned theory in the world. But only the heart can believe deeply enough not to worry. And only the heart can turn mental theory into will, resolution, and finally, action. The distance between the head, "I know," and the heart, "I know," is the challenge. To make you feel better about yourself, it is helpful to see that the same journey was just as difficult for St. Paul. You can practically feel his struggle between the head and the heart here in Romans 7. "I do not understand my own actions," says Paul, "for I do not want to do what I want, but the very thing I hate. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it." If you are human, and if you are honest, you have had the same struggle. You know what you should think. You know what you should do. But the resolve, the determination, the follow through. If you think about it, it was pretty brave for St. Paul to put this into a letter. He is remarkably vulnerable here. But I'm glad he did. Not only does it help to know that a pioneer of the faith, a great saint, struggled, but it is also a strong reminder of God's grace, patience, and forgiveness. You see, God does not expect us to be perfect. Indeed, he knows that we will not be. God knows that humanity has failings and frailties, and that every one of us will sometimes struggle. No one knows that better than our Creator. In fact, it may be that the battle between the head and the heart is a fight God intended us to have. Perhaps our God wants us to try again and again to align our mind and our will for some greater good or some deeper love, even when it is a struggle. Maybe the struggle is more important to God than perfect results. God does not expect us to be perfect. He knows we will not be. Finally, on this historic semi-quincentennial celebration, it's worth noticing that the difficulties between the head and the heart are not just for individuals. Groups of people struggle in the same way, and so can an entire nation. I am as patriotic as they come, and I hope you are too. America was born uniquely with the recognition that God's first gift to humankind was freedom. And America was the first to enshrine this foundational principle into law. But America has not been perfect, and the struggle is the same. Ideals and principles live in the head. Carrying them out fairly, universally, and in difficult circumstances is a matter of the will. A matter deeply of the heart. We don't always get there. But still, there remains a tremendous blessing. St. Paul, in the throes of his dilemma, does not leave things open-ended. He reminds us that there is a solution. He says it at the end of this morning's passage. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this bodily of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. The answer is the grace, the forgiveness, and the unlimited love found only in our Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the things that I am most grateful for on the 250th anniversary of our nation's founding is that all these years later, all over this great country, people just like us are sitting in pews just like ours, beneficiaries of our founder's first principle of the right to worship. And it is in worship that we meet God face to face in Jesus Christ our Lord. It is in worship that we find the grace and patience that enables us to start again, to think and to do all things that are right and righteous. When we as individuals, as peoples, even as a nation, turn our mind toward Christ, we still won't be perfect, but our hearts will change, and we can do great good in this world.